We have the opportunity now to read the scripture from the New Testament, James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We've been reading through James, and now we come to the last chapter, hearing those different commands from the Lord to us about how we ought to live this Christian life. James chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 1 through 20, the whole chapter, this morning. James chapter 5, starting in verse 1, this is the Lord's word to us. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you. And the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, or the Lord of hosts. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure, and you have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. But your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone sick among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Thus far in the reading of the word of our Lord. The conclusion of the book of James gives us 2 warnings and 3 encouragements. The first warning is given in the first 6 verses, warning to wealthy oppressors. And it seems like he contrasts this with the brethren in verse 7. And so perhaps these first 6 verses are to those who are not of the brethren. A warning to the wealthy oppressors. Their possessions will all be destroyed. All of our possessions at the end will be destroyed. When you die, you can't take them with you. And those worldly wealthy men, he states here that if you love your possessions and wealth, you're really storing up for yourself treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, like it says in the Gospels. Those things you are storing up and are withholding even from others who are working for it. As it says here, those who laborers mowing your fields, They cry out against you. And so if you're one who withholds the money due to the worker, their cries are condemning you before the Lord. And it says, describing here your idolatry of your possessions, of your money, that's withheld from the Lord of hosts. He knows and sees everything. And what we're called to, we've seen in Genesis, that all of our possessions, everything that has been given to us has been given by the Lord, and it's to be given to Him. Not necessarily that it needs to be given to Him, literally, but it needs to, that our focus needs to be that all our possessions are from Him. And that if He desires us to give more or to help someone, then we ought to be doing that. The second warning is in verse 12, the warning against oaths. He's swearing that what you say is true. And here you are being called to a life of honesty. When there's a case where you must affirm or deny something, then you're called here to give a simple, clear, accurate answer without any type of oath or any type of swearing, trying to make your yes be stronger in some sense. It doesn't need to be stronger. It needs to be true. And you are to state it simply. And so there's a warning against oaths. Then we have encouragements. The first is the encouragement to those who are oppressed. Perhaps those who are oppressed in the first six verses to these wealthy men, the workers, the laborers. He says, to be patient, to wait on the Lord. You may be going through tough situations in your life, and the Lord says, wait on me. You may be oppressed by those who you work for, and He says, wait on me, be patient. Strengthen your hearts for the coming. Here's His reason. For the coming of the Lord is near. And to the readers of James, those the audience of James, we think that he says the Lord is near. How much more near is that coming of the Lord now? 2,000 years closer, in some sense, we could say. And so we, more so than the audience that is written to here, should have our hearts strengthened and hope more. And be perhaps patient more. And he says, those who endure, thinking of even Timothy, those who endure will reign with Him. And here he says that those who endure will be blessed. The second encouragement is the encouragement to pray, verses 13 to 18. And so we pray based on our life situations. That's what he's saying here. He gives us lots of different examples of our prayer. He says, if you're suffering, then you pray and you plead to God to take away that suffering. He says, if you are cheerful, then sing praises to God for all the good that He's done. If you are sick, then you call upon the elders to pray for you. And in all your prayers, he says, pray in faith, knowing that the Lord will answer according to His will or according to His plan. We're called to confess our sins to one another, pray for one another for the purposes for the purpose of ourselves being healed, which is very odd to think about. So we pray for one another, and we confess our sins to one another that we would be healed. And then the last encouragement is for the help of the backslider, the one who has turned from the Lord, the one who's in sin, verses 19 and 20. And we're to help those who turn to sin, who have turned from the Lord. We are to speak the word to them and lead them to repentance. We are to go with them in a gentle way and speak the word and bring them back, restore the sinner. Like it says in Galatians 1, which we've been talking about for a few times now in the past few weeks. And this is for the sake of the health of the church. And here we find warnings to wealthy oppressors, warnings about oaths, and then also encouragements to the oppressed to pray and to help the one who is in sin. If we're truly the united body that we've been learning about in Ephesians, then we'll be one who speaks the word to those who are in sin. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for these warnings to us. Warnings not only to Your people, but warnings to those who are not Your people. And we praise you for these encouragements. We pray that we would not be these wealthy oppressors, or that we would be having to swear that what we have said is true. We know that we ought to know that what we say is true, because what we say should be the truth. It should be honest. Now, we should not try to fool people or lie or bear false witness, the ninth commandment. Well, Father, we pray that we would let our yes be yes and give simple, clear, accurate answers to questions that we are asked. And Father, we thank you for these encouragements that those who are suffering, those who are being oppressed, even amongst our body, those who are undergoing persecutions or sufferings, we pray, or tribulations or trials, we pray that you would give us all patience, that we would endure, that we would have that long suffering that you have with us, and that we would have that long suffering in our lives, knowing that you will bless us. Father, we praise you that you have given us the great gift of being able to communicate with you through prayer, that you give us the Holy Spirit who groans within us those words which we need to pray, and you've given us the Son, Jesus Christ, our mediator, who there before your throne pleads for us. And he who has been tempted in every way we have been, yet he's without sin. He is the perfect intercessor for our sins. And so we praise you for him and his sacrifice. And Father, we finally praise you for this encouragement to worship you. This final encouragement to worship you through the turning of sinners back to yourself, to speak your word. Just as we speak your word to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're to spread your word to rebuke the sinner and correct them and train them in righteousness and teach them, Father. We pray that you would make us and enable us by your Spirit to do so. And Father, as we come before you this day, before the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, we recognize that we are sinners. We have broken your commandments. We have not loved you, and we have not loved our neighbor as ourself. We have worshipped other gods. We've worshipped our possessions or money. We've created other idols in our work or our family, in our children, and taken your name in vain much this week. We have not spoken your word. We've joked around. We've hurt people. And so we have not even shown forth that light which is within us. And rather we've shown forth our sin. And we've not shown forth Christ as we ought to. And Father, we've broken the Lord's Day. We've broken the fourth commandment. We've not prepared well for this day. There are some who may be struggling even now to worship, who are distracted, perhaps because they have not prepared to worship you, the holy and living God. You have many times throughout Scripture have said that we are to sanctify ourselves to worship you, to draw near to you, that we are to prepare. And how many times have you said it was of Rehoboam that who did not prepare to come before you, and he was seen as evil in your sight? Lord, what a great thing it is to come before a holy God, and yet what a fearful thing it is. So, Father, we pray, even if we've sinned in this way and not preparing, you would work in our hearts now, despite that, and that you would forgive us of our sin. Father, we also ask that you would be with us in our loving of our neighbors, that our loving of the body of Christ, that you would make us to have that fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, all which are not inward focus in so much, but outward focus to those people around us. Give us that fruit, Father, by your Spirit, and grow us in that fruit. Father, we pray that you would be with those who are sick today. You think of Sharon and Kara and also Dina. And Father, we pray for Bob and Marie and those who have chronic illnesses like Betty or even Dick. And we pray that you would bless them. We thank you for those who have been healed from their sickness this past week or are feeling better. But we do ask for your healing, not so much as much in the body, as much as we pray that you would heal our souls from this sin problem that we have. And the people who perhaps are here this morning who do not know you, who are on that path, that wide path leading to destruction, we pray that you would change that and lead them onto the narrow path leading to glory and light. Bring them out of darkness and into your marvelous light. And Father, we finally pray for our government, as you command us to do, to pray for our kings and all who are in authority over us, that you would save them and give them wisdom according to your word, and not according to the God of money or the God of man-pleasing, that you would give us peaceable and tranquil, peaceable lives to live and worship you this day and all days, the rest of our life. These things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.